WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a doozy of a show in store for you today. Later on in the hour, we will be playing a sneak peek preview of tonight's Current Sports television sit-down with the one, the only, David Mad Dog DeMarco. Of course, Mad Dog has been on WVFN AM 730. The fan, for quite a long time. Actually, he'll be approaching his 20-year anniversary next year on April 1st. I invited Mad Dog on our TV airwaves for the very first time, and it was a great show, high energy, and very insightful, to say the least. So you don't want to miss that. We'll give you a sneak peek of that chat later on. We'll also talk about Justin Verlander. Was he good or what last night? That's the JV we remember from back in the day, right? Wow. A one-hitter for JV. We'll sum up his performance last night and talk about if he can sustain that type of performance going throughout the rest of his career. Also, new Michigan State University football captains have been released to the team. We'll talk about who those names are. We'll have Throwback Thursday for you, a little high school football talk, seeing as though today is the unofficial start to the high school, I should say the official start to the high school football year. All of that and so much more. But let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this August 27th. High school football is back. Tonight, many high schools around the mid-Michigan area and around the rest of the great state of Michigan kick off their respective seasons. We'll have chatter on a few of the games to look forward to tonight later on in the show. Michigan State University's football team has released three captains for this upcoming football season. They will be Jack Allen, Shalik Calhoun, and linebacker Darian Harris. All right, folks, keeping this train moving along. Spartan Nation confirmed with Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio that running back Delton Williams will be eligible to play for the season opener against Western Michigan next week. Now, Williams, of course, was suspended by the program in March following a traffic incident with a firearm charge. He was left on the spring roster, seemingly putting his future with the program in jeopardy, but he will be eligible next week when Michigan State football begins its season on the road in Kalamazoo. The long path back to pitching dominance for Justin Verlander ended last night with a familiar sight. The Tigers ace came within three outs of his third career no-hitter, settling for a one-hit shutout in a 5-0 win over the LA Angels last night at Comerica Park. Verlander came within a Chris Iannetta ninth inning double of joining Nolan Ryan, Sandy Koufax, Bob Feller, Cy Young, and Larry Corcoran with at least three no-hitters. Verlander still owns the Tigers' last no-hitter on May 7, 2011 in Toronto, part of an MVP season. Pro Bowl defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh knows what it's like to lead a number one defense. Last year, he was the anchor in the middle of the Lions defense that finished number one in the NFL against the run and number two in overall yards. But according to Ndamukong Suh, his new defense with the Miami Dolphins has the same potential. Quote, I don't have a problem saying this, but I think personally that we have more talent in Miami than we had in the number one defense last year in Detroit. Shots fired. All right, quarterback Michael Vick signed a one-year contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers on Tuesday, but a number of people are already unhappy with his presence on the team. John Breach of CBS Sports noted yesterday that 15,463 people signed a change.org petition demanding that the Steelers get rid of Vick. What's more, a Facebook group called "A Pittsburghers Against Michael Vick" had more than 13,000 likes by Wednesday afternoon. Of course, this hostility stems from Vick's past transgressions of animal cruelty. He was sentenced to 23 months in a federal prison back in 2007. A hearing for Marshawn Lynch intended to address a $75,000 fine from last season has been canceled, and the NFL expects Lynch to comply with their media access policy going forward. It wasn't immediately clear if the amount of money Lynch was fined remains or was reduced with a settlement. So hopefully we can see a bit more lively press coverage when it comes to Marshawn Lynch this upcoming season, but I won't hold my breath. A lawyer for the Chicago Bulls guard, Derrick Rose, said Wednesday that a lawsuit filed recently accusing Rose of sexual misconduct is, quote, outrageous, and, quote, we have complete confidence that the case will be dismissed. Now, the lawsuit, first reported by TMZ Sports, was filed by an unidentified woman who said she dated Rose from 2011 to 2013. She is accusing Rose and two friends of slipping a drug into her drink and later committing sexual acts against her will. The incident, she alleged, occurred in August of 2013, and shortly after, Usain Bolt won a fourth 200-meter title and a 10th gold medal overall at the World Championships. A cameraman on a two-wheel vehicle banged into Bolt from behind. Suddenly, the Olympic champion was down on his back, flipping over before getting back on his feet and then briefly holding his left leg. After regaining his composure, he walked back to the cameraman to make sure he was okay, too. Frightening video there, folks. All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in right now if you want to give your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin. You know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. It's about that time to start the show.
Line. That is a fair ball right on the chalk. Iannetta to second. It's a leadoff double here in the ninth. The first hit Verlander has allowed. He will get one heck of an ovation from the hometown crowd.
Say what? Say what? Whose world is this?
Say what? Oh, boy, I tell you what, it was all Justin Verlander's world last night. A one-hitter at Comerica Park. Was that fun to watch or what? I just happened to, you know, I got off work pretty late last night. We had a late current sports TV taping with David Mad Dog DeMarco. We actually started taping the show around, I want to say, about 6:30. So we didn't get out until about, I want to say, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. After I had gotten something to eat I got some wings here in Lansing at Wings Over, and I went straight to my apartment. I didn't even realize that the Tigers were on. Again, my interest has slowly depleted when it comes to the Detroit Tigers because of the year that they have had. But then all of a sudden, my phone flashes, and my ESPN app on Score Center announces that Justin Verlander had a no-hitter going into the ninth. So what do? I immediately throw my wings on the table. I push my dog out the way. I grab my remote, and I turn to Fox Sports Detroit to tune in. And I kid you not, folks, as soon as I turn my channel to Fox Sports Detroit to watch the game, that's when that hit occurred from Iannetta. Hitting the chalk. I mean, literally. Justin Verlander was so close to a no-hitter last night, folks. I mean, if you can see my hands, I'm talking about like this close. Like, there's not much space between my thumb and index finger right now. so close last night. But it hits the chalk. The chalk goes up in the air. The ball is fair. And Justin Verlander gives up a hit. But it was that fun or what? I mean, my goodness. Justin Verlander, he has had, you know, the last few times he's been out on the mound, he has had some impressive outings. And unfortunately, with the way this season has gone for the Detroit Tigers, even though Justin Verlander has pitched some very nice games, he has not been getting the run support that he needs in order to pull out wins. But last night was vintage Verlander. Last night was the Justin Verlander of old. Maybe not quite, because we didn't see, you know, those pitches, you know, whizzing by, you know, close to 100 miles per hour like we would have, you know, back in the glory days of JV, when he was clearly a consensus top pitcher. Well, I should say the number one, a consensus number one pitcher in the game of baseball. But still, he still showed that he still has the juice, folks. He still got the juice. That was fun to watch. Fun to watch. And I think from a confidence standpoint, more than anything, Justin Verlander showed everyone that his confidence has not wavered. Despite all of the criticisms, despite media types like myself criticizing Justin Verlander and wondering if we will see the old JV return or just some form of that old Justin Verlander. But despite all of those criticisms, despite all of the naysayers, Justin Verlander and his confidence has never wavered. Especially, we know how injuries are when it comes to sports, folks. Injuries can completely deplete your confidence and just and really deplete that mental edge that you have as a professional athlete within the game that you play. Of course, he had core muscle surgery in January of 2014. It really messed up his pitching mechanics and really slowed down his fastball. And then if you remember, you know, at the beginning of this year, I mean, he lost 2 months of arm strength with a strained triceps late in spring training. But it never wavered. And despite, you know, when he first, you know, had those very first few starts when he came back after missing the beginning of the year, he didn't have great outings. They were kind of up and down. They were good. They weren't fantastic. And again, you know, he got criticized. He got criticized left and right, especially when you talk about that $140 million contract with guaranteed money hanging around the Detroit Tigers. And, you know, I remember coming on the show and saying, you know, at one point when JV didn't have a great outing, you know, near the beginning of this year, I said, okay, he's got to start living up to the billing. You can't pay this man that much money and he's not delivering for you. Despite all of that, Justin Verlander has stayed consistent, when it comes to his confidence on the mound. And he was absolutely fantastic last night. Absolutely fantastic. What do you think? Did you get a chance to check out that outing? It was everywhere, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And I get it. I know. The Detroit Tigers are probably not going to make the playoffs. I mean, even though they're still in the hunt right now, you know, for a wild card spot. Of course, they're not winning the division. They sold the team right before that trade deadline. But at the same time, you know, you have to feel pretty positive if you are a Detroit Tigers fan when looking at what Justin Verlander was able to do last night. And not only that, but knowing that you got a guy like Miguel Cabrera still on the roster, you have, you know, one of the best shortstops in the game in Jose Iglesias. Maybe Yoenis Cespedes comes back. I don't know. I think that all depends on the success of the New York Mets this season, and they have been absolutely lights out. But there's a foundation there that this team can build upon. Even though they sold, even though they got rid of a lot of key players, right when that trade deadline hit, even though Dave Dombrowski is no longer with this team, there is still some pretty big puzzle pieces to play around with and to build upon. Call in again, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's current sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Al, I'm doing well. Yeah, fantastic game from Justin Verlander. First off, I got to say, so what you're implying is that it's your fault that he dropped it, right?
It is all on me. People blame me. But no, I mean, media types across the board. It was funny. I watched the entire press conference last night after Justin Verlander, had that one hit bid. And, you know, an interesting question came from, of course, sports writer for the Detroit Free Press, Drew Sharp. And, you know, he asked, Justin last night, with all of the naysayers and all of the criticisms that you've gotten about your game and the consistency of your game and whether or not you will return to the form that you had a few years ago, how have you been able to not listen to that and just go out there and do you? And he said, I don't listen to him. I don't listen to the naysayers. He said, quote, exactly. This is a direct quote from him. Quote, I don't worry about those people. You can't listen to the naysayers. You've got to work your butt off and believe, end quote. And that's the type of mentality that any great athlete has to have, because you are going to go through a period of adversity no matter who you are. You can point out any great player, any legendary athlete. When you look at their timeline throughout their playing career, I guarantee, Isaac, that there is a spot or two that you can point to, a year or two that you can point to, where that player just didn't have it. That's what happens. But it's how you respond. It's how you respond after those periods that make a player legendary.
Al, and this will never be the same, Justin Verlander, because even last night we didn't see him overpowering people with the 100 miles per hour fastballs they used to throw. This is not the same Verlander, but he's evolving his game. And I actually saw an ESPN comparison that related that to how Nolan Ryan, the great Nolan Ryan, progressed through his career and how he was able to adapt to losing speed and place balls with more precision, with more accuracy. And he was able to still work with that. And, you know, as he aged, of course, he wasn't the same Nolan Ryan when he was younger, but he was still a very quality pitcher, an excellent pitcher. And they say Justin Verlander, once he gets totally healthy, might be able to do the same. And I'm looking at the stats right now. People, Justin Verlander, I can't believe how much people have really avoided this topic, but he has not been as bad this season as people believe. His ERA is 3.45. 3.45. That is not that bad compared to last season, who's at 4.54. So, you know, it's not his best season, far from it. But at the same time, Verlander recently has been picking it up, and it's gone largely unnoticed because the Tigers as a whole have been
just a bad team. Right. And, yeah. And that's what I've been saying these last few weeks. I mean, Justin Verlander has produced for this team throughout his last few outings. He's been great. The thing about it is, you may not see it in the win and loss column because he doesn't get any run support. The bats aren't helping him out when he goes out there and pitches. But anytime you pitch a one-hitter, I mean, hey, you don't have to really rely on the bats as much because you're going out there and really just silencing the offense of your opposition. So he didn't really need it last night. He did get it. Of course, the Tigers shut out the Angels last night, 5-0. But, again, you have to, again, this isn't going to be the Justin Verlander of old. Because, pitching velocity, the fastball strength isn't going to be like it was because of those injuries and due to father time at the end of the day. That's how pitchers are. But you got to put a smile on your face when looking at what he was able to do last night because, again, he's finding other ways to get batters out. And he was absolutely brilliant last night. Again, he came an inch away from his third no-hitter in his career. And he could have been, and he could have had some company. I mean, we're talking about like guys like Sandy Koufax. You know what I mean? Like Cy Young, Nolan Ryan. I mean, those are big, big names. So, and again, he still holds the Tigers' last no-hit bid on May 7, 2011. And again, no one are really talking about the Detroit Tigers because they aren't really in. I mean, they're still in the mix with the wild card, ideally. But, they've had such a down year this year that many folks just aren't talking about them. But when looking at the pieces they have to work with next year, as I just stated, Isaac, I really think they have some great bricks to build upon, without a doubt. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, as I stated in our quick hit headliners, folks, the Michigan State football team has named its captains for the upcoming year. And they are defensive end Shalique Calhoun, center Jack Allen, and linebacker Darian Harris. Darian, actually a former assistant here on Current Sports Radio. You know, something that really stands out to me really quickly, talking about Darian Harris, Isaac, I'm really not that surprised. I'm really happy for Darian, but I'm not really surprised that he was named as a captain this upcoming year, because from the moment I met Darian Harris and from the moment he came in as a worker here on Current Sports Radio, he just has this aura around him that, you know, he's very confident. He's very even keel. He's a funny kid as well. But you could just tell he exudes, you know, a leadership type of aura. I can't really describe it, but he's just really calm, cool, collected, and confident. And and that's something that, you know, I always bring up when talking about Darian. And it's something that I also noticed, especially at Media Day when we went out there at Spartan Stadium and got a chance to talk to the offense and defense. And Darian was one of the guys that I talked to, of course. And, you know, he's just so confident, man, and just even keel. So I'm not really surprised about Darian. I'm not surprised about Shalique as well. Not even really surprised about Jack Allen, because Jack Allen also has those leadership qualities and capabilities, you know. And, a lot of people will bring up, okay, why isn't Connor Cook named a captain for this upcoming season, with Connor Cook being, you know, the quarterback of this team? Naturally, as the quarterback of the team, you are going to be a leader, because that's what that position entails. You know, it's arguably the most important position out there, because the quarterback has the football in his hands 99.9% of the time when it comes to scoring, you know, points on a gridiron. Point blank, period. You have to be a natural leader. You have to be a leader, period, if you are going to play the quarterback position. But a lot of people are surprised because Connor Cook is the quarterback and isn't named a captain, folks. And I get that. But at the same time, if you remember last year, Connor Cook, not a captain. The Rose Bowl season, not a captain. And if you remember, during that Rose Bowl year, at the beginning of the season, there was a three-man horse race for who was going to be the starting quarterback for that year. So, you know, there are a lot of people shocked about it. But again, the writing's been on the wall, folks. Connor Cook hasn't been named a captain ever in his MSU football career. But you better believe that as a quarterback, he does have some pretty big leadership qualities that he has already proved throughout his career with the green and white. So, and I think all three of those captains who were named are very well deserving. Of course, Shalique Calhoun. He had an opportunity to take his talents to the NFL last year. One of the best defensive players in the nation, not only the Big Ten. He's unbelievable. Jack Allen, of course, he anchors one of the nation's top offensive lines. He has been named to three academic All-Big Ten selection this year. And Harris, you know, I talked about his leadership awards, and he's been named on the preseason watch list for the nation's top linebacker. I thought these were two fantastic choices. And, things are becoming a bit more clear for this team as far as the direction where they want to go this upcoming year. And you better believe we're going to have Darian Harris on the show to talk about his, how it feels to be named as a captain for this Spartan team. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have one of our favorite callers on the line right now, on line one. We've got my man, Ray. Ray, how you doing, buddy?
Big Al.
My man.
I just turned 66 Sunday.
Congrats. This past Sunday you turned 66.
Yep, I just got done jogging my 5 miles today, and I thought I'd give you a call because I got my jog in early today.
That is fantastic, my man. Well, happy birthday, Ray. I would sing to you, but you probably won't like my voice. I'm not like Stevie Wonder.
You know, my birthday present, my secret present I want for my birthday, don't you?
Nick, can I guess? Are you going to give me a guess here? You want the Spartans to beat U of M in the college football year, don't you?
No, a week from today, I want Michigan to lose their perfect season in Utah.
So you want it early. So you want that gift early then. You want Utah to beat U of M next week on Thursday.
Early Christmas present.
Oh, God.
Well, present is for you guys to beat up on them again this year and Ohio State beat up on them.
But it's going to be an interesting year. You know, Ray, if you had to give a prediction on how many games that Michigan was going to win this upcoming season, how many do you think they're going to win, realistically?
I hope 4 or 5.
Just four? You think they're just going to win four or five games?
They probably will win eight, but they do have a pretty tough schedule, too. They play at Utah, and then their other non-conference games are pretty tough teams.
Right. Very true.
And Oregon, when does Michigan State open with Oregon?
That'll be week two.
Michigan plays?
Yeah, that's the week after next week. After they take on Western, they'll take on Oregon at home, and they will be home.
The week after, okay.
Yeah, they'll be home for four games in a row, starting with that Oregon game on national television.
Well, people are telling me your defense is going to be good enough, but your offense may not be good enough. What's going on with that?
I don't know about that one. I think on both sides of the football, Michigan State is going to be a fantastic team, Ray. I mean, you get back, a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback in Connor Cook. It looks as though Madre London has been ripping it up in preseason training camp. He's going to be a force in that backfield. They got a pretty good wide receiver core. I'm really hoping that McGarrett Kings can have a breakout year. The defense is all. What'd you say, Ray?
Your running backs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Madre London has been named as the number one running back for this upcoming year. But I've been hearing Ray reviews out of camp. D'Antonio has been talking about how all of the running backs. I mean, L.J. Scott. Delton Williams, he's still trying to get back in the groove because of the time he missed in preseason training camp because of that incident away from the field in March. But, all running backs look great. Madre London, he actually said that he had a 70-yard touchdown, 40-yard touchdown run and a 70-yard run against the number one defense during that scrimmage over the weekend. So, and we all know the defense is going to be good. I mean, they have great pieces on that defense,
well,
like Shalik Calhoun.
Your top linebacker got hurt and he's out for the year.
Yeah,
ain't he?
Yeah, Ed Davis. But it looks as though Chris Frey can step right in. You know, D'Antonio lives by the next man up mentality. Chris Frey is going to step right in and possibly be that number one guy when the first game starts next week. But I think on both sides of the ball, I mean, Michigan State is going to be a very, very good team.
You know, I heard Ohio State lost one of their top wideouts for the year.
Yeah, a wideout?
Yeah, wide receiver got hurt and he's out for the whole year.
I didn't know that.
Does Michigan have any serious injuries so far?
As far as what team?
Michigan.
They haven't had any injuries to my knowledge, no.
Nope. Oh, okay.
Knock on wood, though.
Hey, you remember when Jim Harbaugh come in?
Yeah, of course.
They called him the Messiah. You think he's the Messiah?
I think he's the right guy for the job, without a doubt. Whether to dub him Messiah, I don't know about that.
Well,
that's a pretty big word.
He felt uncomfortable being called Messiah. He better, because he's not close to Jesus.
Yeah.
He tripped over his own cord, and he said, well, a worse athlete would have fell on that.
Well, I think
he just might fall.
Right. I really think that Jim Harbaugh is going to turn around the U of M football program.
He probably will.
I think he will because, he's a great football mind everywhere he's went. He has, turned around the program or brought it to another level. He was a fantastic pro coach. He played he coached in a Super Bowl. He's a fantastic football mind. I just think that people need to give him more time to change things around because it's unrealistic, looking at where this football club was, has been these past two seasons. You can't expect Jim Harbaugh to come in his first year and to lead them to the promised land. It's just not going to happen.
Well, 9 years they've been losing. And they don't like that down there. They're bullies, They won't humble themselves, and they remind me a lot of the New England Patriots. They'll cheat anything to win. So you can expect that Harbaugh will turn them around, but he may get them on probation in a couple of years too. Remember me telling you that, okay?
All right, Ray. I'm taking a mental note right here, my man Ray.
And you need to get over to Cracker Barrel, get that sweet rugby.
I do. I know. You've been talking about that for a while now.
They got a fox at line dances, and I did the line dance with him for my birthday.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's where you went for your birthday. Okay.
All right, Ray. God bless you.
All right, take care, my man, Ray. Always entertaining, I tell you. We give our callers the forum. I mean, if you want to rant and rave about, your team or want to bash your team, yeah, you can do that. It's sports talk, okay? From the point of view of Isaac and I mean, we have to stay non-biased, even though Isaac currently attends Michigan State. I graduated from Michigan State. I'm a journalist at the end of the day, so I look at things from a lens that may not be pervy to most of the fans out there or a typical fan. So I really do think, though, Isaac, that Jim Harbaugh is going to do one outstanding job as the head coach of the Maize and Blue, just not this upcoming year. I think the expectations that Michigan fans have been placing on his shoulders, again, are just way too high, and we've talked about that before. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, Of course, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday night, we love to give you guys a sneak peek into the night's current sports TV sit-down. I had a chance to chat with David Mad Dog DeMarco of WVFN 730 AM. Don't touch that dial. You are tuned into current sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to the show. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Energetic, exciting, dynamic, and entertaining are just some of the adjectives that have been used to describe David Mad Dog DeMarco and his sports talk show. You know, David has been doing Mad Dog in the Morning for quite some time. Actually, next year on April 1st will be the 20th anniversary of Mad Dog taking the airwaves and engaging in pretty entertaining sports talk discussion. I've tuned into Mad Dog show ever since I have been a student here at Michigan State University. And Mad Dog, you know, he was on from 6 a.m. to around 9 a.m. On the game, 7:30 a.m. They've actually just moved his time slot to 3 to 6 p.m. Now on 7:30 a.m. And I really get a chance now to really tune in. You know, when I'm doing work in the afternoon, if I'm not on a shoot, I'll tune in to hear him, to hear his show. And, you know, Mad Dog, you know, he has that no, not, well, he's very comedic. You know, it's comedy when he goes on the air. And that's what he wanted the show to be about. You know, he wanted to bring a lot of fun, you know, with a lot of, you know, jokes here and there. But he tells it like it is, and he's very honest, and he doesn't shy away from any conversation. And you know, Mad Dog, you know, he's been a friend of mine in the industry, and you know, him and I were chatting the other day when we were at the baseball Miracle League game, which he, you know, collaborates with Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. And, you know, Mad Dog and I were talking. I'm saying, man, I've never had you on before. You know, I've never had you on my radio show, never had you on my TV show. He said, why not? I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. So we scheduled him for this week. And immediately, from the time that he walked through the doors, he was just energetic, in tune. It was just a great time sitting down with him and really getting a chance to know him. So he is my guest on tonight's current sports TV show, which you can view at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV, but of course, each and every Thursday here on Current Sports Radio, we give you guys a sneak peek into that chat. So, sat down with Mad Dog, and first, you know, the conversation went you know, a variance amount of ways, but I first had to congratulate him on being married for the very first time.
This is an absolute pleasure. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff in media, but man, I tell you, I'm fired up here.
Are you?
Jacked.
Pretty cool, right? And this is the first time we've ever had you on.
This is very nice.
Now, I want to start by letting the people know who you are, like, as if you haven't been here for, what, 19 plus years now, right? Grew up in this area, going back.
Torturing people all the way.
There you go, right? But you just got married, my friend. How does that feel? Can you show everybody the rock you got?
Yeah, right here.
There you go.
A year and a half. You're right there.
A year and a half. How's marriage like?
That's great. I mean, I only had to wait 54 years.
Exactly. And now you've made that leap, right?
Yep. And it was a perfect situation. I really don't want to go on the whole thing, but it was wonderful. My wife owns My Joe's Diner, 5131 North Grand River, and it's a great place to go eat. You'll go there.
I will. I will definitely take a visit.
It's just a great story how we got together. It's very unique and very wonderful, and I have two stepchildren, and they're old, and Tony Kovac and Mara Kovac, and two really good athletes, and Mara lives in Manhattan, and Tony is my wife's partner, and he's my stepson. He's a great guy, and then we're friends, and he's my stepson. It's really, I mean, I've had a really up and down kind of deal. My mother passed away from lung cancer 7 years ago. I'm an only child. Right. You know, that's why it hit home when I read what Joe had written about Mark and his depression situation and Mark Hollis.
Yeah, Mark Hollis, right.
So I talked about that Monday, and it hit home, and I really never got vocal and open with my personal life because, you know, I'm always joking around. We're having fun. I got a lot of friends. I got a lot of cousins. But when you go home, you're alone, and it's not fun, and it stinks, and it's not good. And I never thought that I would, you know, get married. I really never. I told my friends that it's never going to happen. And lo and behold, got hit with a thunderbolt, and it's a wonderful deal.
Love is truly in the air, and I wanted to start off by saying congratulations, my man.
Thanks.
Because anytime you find that soulmate, it is truly a blessing.
It is, and look at Fred.
Right.
Only took him 3 chances, but he got there.
As long as you get it right. One of those 3
chances.
That's
why he got married at Cooley Law School Stadium. First right. strike, second strike, and there he goes. He took it deep.
He took it deep, right?
That's right.
Okay, all right, Mad Dog. Also, transitioning from the marriage now,
yes.
I got to ask you, how did you get the nickname Mad Dog DeMarco?
Well, I used to be, and I still have sort of a closet wrestling fan, but I used to be a gargantuan pro wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
and was friends with the original Sheik, Ed Farhat, and they were going to bring pro wrestling back to Lansing because he invented big time wrestling.
Right.
That was in the 60s, so he's going to bring it back. Well, anyway. There was a wrestler in the NWA, Flair and all those guys, and his name was Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, and I used to imitate him. Then I actually got to meet him a few times and get some laughs with the guy backstage when they had the old Lansing Civic Center.
Yeah.
I've been to 2 or 3 WrestleManias, but that was before. The olden days when the Road Warriors came out, nobody knew who they were, and Laurinaitis, and we used to go all the time. We go to Lansing, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Piper, Snuka. You know, Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, back in all NWO, I actually got to walk the NWO to the ring in Grand Rapids.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because I had Kevin Nash on my radio program.
Right.
And, you know, he was first team All-State in hoop out of Southgate Aquinas with Irvin Magic Johnson.
I did not know
that. He went to Tennessee on a hoop ride, and then he blew his knee out. Anyway, so he was on the show, and he invited myself and my former partner, Jeff Hager, to go to Van Andel Arena to walk the NWO. So Kevin Nash and X-Pac and the other guy.
What, Triple H?
Yeah, no.
Okay, Triple H.
But then I walked in the ring to the music. I had a shirt on and stuff. So then all of a sudden they hit the bell, and Diamond Dallas Page and the Giant and another huge guy. I almost got crushed.
Right,
I got
I'm sure.
I got out of there, though. It was pretty cool.
Now, do you still watch pro wrestling?
No.
Not anymore. It was back in the day.
No.
Now, you've been doing talk radio, sports talk radio now, and we were chatting before we took the air here, yeah. Mad Dog. It will be 20 years on April 1st of next year. Did you ever think?
God willing, you got to say.
Yeah, God willing. Knock on wood, right? Hopefully.
God willing, yes.
Did you ever think that you'd be doing this for that long?
Well, I've gone through a lot of Advil. Let me tell you this.
I'm sure.
No, I didn't. I really didn't. I got into it. It's a long story. How it all happened by perseverance, and I've met some wonderful people and worked for some really good people.
Right.
And I think it sort of scorched a lot of people that had gone to broadcasting school, whether it be Michigan State or Specs Howard or around the country, because I didn't go to broadcasting school. And I got beat up a lot, Abdul the Butcher language, and did this, and anyways, and went and gone. And
right.
My background was running a restaurant, but I had graduated from Central Michigan in 82.
But you had a gift of gab.
But I worked real hard at the other stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to do this, and I started out with the sports guys. You know Larry Lage.
He
was a partner. Larry.
Of course. Love Larry.
Little Larry and Jeff Hager, my really close friend. And then Larry left to be going to journalism, and Jeff left to go to another radio station. So then I was on my own, and have done it for 17 years by myself. And we'd gone to another station that you were in high school then, called the Ticket, and that was it was the group where the other guys are now.
Okay.
And so then I came back, and there we go.
And you were pretty persistent at getting that foot in the door
still
to
am.
Do what you are, and still am.
I mean, still am.
Can you elaborate on that? I mean, what did you have to do in order to get on
the air? I became a national caller on the sports buffet program, Papa Joe Chevalier, out of Las Vegas, Nevada, and he passed away a few years back and made a name for myself doing this. So people would come to my family's restaurant, DeMarco's, to meet me and this and that. So I said, you know what? These guys can do it. And he didn't, you know, he worked for the AP in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And I said, no, I'm going to do this. So I continued to go to Mount Hope, where the Mount Hope Street, where the station was, and they wouldn't give me any kind of sniff. And then finally, one individual named Dan Gutowski did give me a little bit of a sniff, and then they ended it. So then they started this show in 1996 with Randy Plant and Jeff Hager, called The Sports Guys, and they called me, and the rest is history. And that's how it had gone. I told Ernie Harwell this story, and he couldn't even believe it. I'm like, wait a minute, you're Ernie Stinkin' Harwell.
Exactly,
he goes,
right?
David, this is really a unique story. And I think
it is.
I think it's miffed some people in the media over the years, because they're like, you know, how does he get a show? and I've gone to this school.
Put in the work.
Well, and, that's, I think, the problem with some of the younger kids coming out of school today. They think that, you know, and listen, there's nothing wrong with thinking that, but you got to put in the work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
You got to you know, put your head to the grindstone at the end of the day. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I definitely agree with you. Now, again, you've been doing this for 19 years, coming up on 20 years. Mm-hmm. Mad Dog, I've gotten the opportunity to finally really check out your show because previously, as I stated in the intro, you were on in the morning around 6 a.m. For 9.5 years. And now you are on in the afternoon. I've caught your show. Mm-hmm. For those that may have never tuned into your show, describe it.
Well, my show is like a cornucopia of like Second City comedy. And it's like shooting from the hip, and you never know what is going to happen, who's going to be on the program. But I've made a name for myself having real reputable guests, and if we don't, I attack a topic.
You don't shy away from topics. I mean, you're very raw, you're very blunt, honest, and it's sprinkled in with, you know, a little comedy as well. I mean, you tell it like it is, man.
And some people do like to stay away from that, but my true personality is being genuine and having integrity and don't cut corners. And I mean, I'm not going to be a guy that's going to say, well, I'm not going to talk about that because I'm scared because I might upset a few people out there. I mean, this is what happens. I mean, you saw what happened in Virginia today. We live in a really stressful, awful, sometimes garbage kind of world, and it spills over into sports, and we've watched this. And if you don't talk about it with people, you got to get people thinking. You got to get people talking about this stuff.
Right.
And sometimes people don't like that. Well, I have nothing I can do about that.
Exactly, and that's life. I mean, you got to go on, and your show must go on.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've ruffled some feathers over the years, Mad Dog. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of what has occurred back in the day or something that really stands out in your mind that was just like, really?
Yeah, well, that was the Bobby Williams era.
Okay.
Because Bobby Williams and I became friends, and his wife Sheila. We were about the same age. Sheila used to come in and do the show with me sometimes, too. And Bobby and I become friends. And I think he looked at me somewhat of the underdog kind of deal. And I, you know, went to bat for him as much as I could. And it was, I could see that the ship was sinking in his corner. Now, don't get me wrong. When Nick Saban left to go to LSU, no one else had gone to LSU with Nick. He had a plane out at Capital City Airport. Nobody got on. They stayed with Bobby. Bobby beat Steve Spurrier in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, you know what? This might be a really unique story, somewhat like Lloyd Carr was with Gary Moeller.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
It didn't work out like that.
Right, right.
So the football got real bad. In one game, I remember I was sitting in the press box with Jason Colthorpe, and he had just started in sports and with Jeremy Sampson. And there was a bad play, and one of the star players just stood there and didn't do nothing. And I couldn't go on no further. So I came on my show Monday, and it was pretty bad. And Bobby understood. It was just bad. I didn't like how he was treated afterward. Mm-hmm. And I was there when he was let go. And it was just strange. The whole thing was real surreal. And a lot of people gassed me on the internet for you know, sticking up for him. And after a while, Al, if you're going to be on this like you're going to be, you're going to take gas. I don't care what kind of entertainer you are or what kind of sports or anything. If you're on a public forum, people are going to gas you, good, bad, or indifferent. So
it's part of the industry, right?
It's part of it. And it takes time to get Teflon because people can be real mean.
Right.
And, you know, you talk about bullying in this country, and it goes there. But after a while, like I said, after my mother passed away, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I said, I don't care anymore.
You can take anything.
I take anything. That's exactly correct.
All right. We talked about a moment that, you know, again, a moment when you ruffled some feathers. But you've also had some great times in this gig.
Very, very more great than not great.
Exactly. I mean, what's been your favorite moment of doing what you do?
Well, I was lucky enough twice to go to Muhammad Ali's home with Bob Every.
Wow. Muhammad Ali's home.
And meet Muhammad twice. I've interviewed Jim Brown, Al Kaline, some of the biggest names in sports, John Wooden, before he passed away. That is, to me, Dick Butkus, Cal Ripken, some of the biggest names. You know, and then having a guy like Tom Izzo out here and becoming buddies with him.
Yeah.
Not just buddies, with friends. And seeing how the maturation and how it used to be at Michigan State when I first started 20 years ago, and it was, you know, hit or miss with the teams and this and that, and seeing how they have a strong, cohesive team in place with the president, with the athletic director, with the coaches, with the different behind-the-scenes people, with Ianni and Sleeper and Shager, and it's really cool.
Right, it definitely is cool, and we actually ran into each other, you know, during one of those big-time events not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, dog, it has been very cool to see the evolution of Michigan State overtime. Mm-hmm. For you, what are your thoughts about the upcoming MSU football year? Of course, they finished in the top five the past two seasons, a Cotton Bowl win, a Rose Bowl win. How do you think this team is going to perform in this upcoming year?
Well, I'm going to say right now, I think they're going to do very well. I don't want to take the cart before the horse, but in this sequence, being on Sports Talk Radio, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I think that if Connor Cook stays healthy, they can go to November 21st, going to the Horseshoe, and they can compete against Ohio State and possibly beat one of those four teams. But they can't look over that, and coaches won't let them. I think they have depth on this team that they have never had before.
Right.
And I think that, you know, a lot of people are sort of, ugh, with Narduzzi leaving. I'm not buying that because these two coaches have been there. These guys are football people.
Right.
They just are. Their defensive line is going to crush. Their offensive line is going to be good. And they have a top-ranked in this country quarterback, and they're well coached by the most underrated head football coach in the country. I think they're going to be very, very strong.
They get by Oregon in game two?
Yeah, I think they do. It'll be a good game because this quarterback out of Eastern Washington is going to play is very good, but I think they're offensively going to be really good.
I tell you what, dog, I cannot wait. I can't believe football season is already here. Yeah, and that quarterback the Mad Dog is talking about, of course, is Vernon Adams, the transfer from Eastern Washington, who is supposed to be a pretty good replacement for Marcos Mariota, who is now in the NFL. Well, that was a great chat with Mad Dog DeMarco. After we finished up that component of the interview, which you just heard, we moved into the 12th man, in which you guys had some very interesting questions to ask David Mad Dog DeMarco. And before that, during my intro of the show tonight, you'll get to see an interesting feature on the Lansing Football League Hall of Fame. You get to see footage of the Michigan State men's basketball team out in Italy as they are playing a few exhibition games that will resume this weekend against the Georgian, Russian, and the Italian national teams. And then they'll return home on September 1st. Of course, they played Basket Fiorentina earlier this week. So you get to see footage from that, as well as so much more. Again, tune in tonight on Current Sports. Again, that's Current Sports TV on WKAR-TV, 10 p.m., folks, 10 p.m. All righty, well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this edition of WKAR's Current Sports by bringing you Throwback Thursday and also highlighting a few Thursday night high school football games and talking about Derrick Rose, who may find himself in a bit of trouble if found guilty. I want to put that out there. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You know, Isaac, we had a pretty good time yesterday. We were at Spare Time, which is a bowling alley here in Lansing, Michigan, right off of 127. And we had a good time, and we actually met the Michigan State volleyball team out there as they have an always just cool and different media day. Last year, I got a chance to play with the team, play volleyball with the team at the same place at Spare Time, because outside of Spare Time, they have volleyball nets with sand outside, and they showed us a few tips, and we got a chance to hit the ball back and forth. They taught us a lot of things. It was just a very cool media day, and then we interviewed the players and Coach Kathy George afterwards. And this year they had a media and MSU women's volleyball team bowling outing, and media members were mixed in with the volleyball players, and we had respective teams, and we just went at it. We played two games. I think I bowled a 108 the first time, like a 120-something the second time. But it was just a fun outing, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a great time. I was hyped up because I got to 100 for the first time since seventh grade. So I am not a bowler. The vow I always made was to never take a date bowling because I'd be too competitive. I'm a, average athlete with college-level intensity when I'm playing games like that, so I would just be furious the whole time. So it was good to hit 100, though. That was my mark. Now if I hit 100, I can live with it.
There you go, and you certainly did. We had a great time, and we'll bring that footage also tonight to you on WKAR's Current Sports TV at 10 p.m. You get to see that outing Also, we'll play a bite from Kathy George previewing the upcoming year. They actually play tomorrow night to start their season at an invitational, starting with a matchup against Kentucky. So, and how eerie is this, Isaac? This literally just came in as you were talking about your bowling outing. And Ray, we just had Ray on, right? And Ray just talked about injuries for the Michigan football team. And I stated that I don't know any of any injuries in preseason training camp. This just came through, folks. I kid you not. Defensive lineman Brian Monet will likely miss the entire season after breaking a bone in his lower leg during training camp. Brian Monet, defensive lineman for the Michigan football team, will miss the entire year breaking a bone in his lower leg during training camp. We literally just talked to Ray about, like, you know, what was that, like 10 minutes ago, about injuries in training camp for Michigan. I didn't know of any. This is the first one, though, that I know of, at least. So, unfortunate news for them. Next man up. Next man up. All right, folks. Well, it is Thursday. And each and every Thursday, not only do we bring you that current sports TV preview, but we love to hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what occurred on this Thursday in sports history. Folks, we dub it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, time for Throwback Thursday, folks, where we take a look at what happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. Not much, Isaac. I was looking around and really had to dig for these notable events for August 27th in sports history. On this day, all the way back in 1889, boxer Jack Dempsey was defeated for the first time of his career by George LeBlanc. So that occurred back in 1889. Of course, Jack Dempsey, a well-known athlete in sports history. 1921, the owner of the Acme Packing Company bought a pro football team for Green Bay. W.I.J.E. Claire paid tribute to those who worked in his plant by naming the team the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, today, the Green Bay Packers were born. 1921, that's pretty cool stuff. And in 1986, speaking of Justin Verlander and his, you know, his name possibly being amongst great pitchers like Sandy Koufax and, of course, this individual, Nolan Ryan, folks. Nolan Ryan, back in 1986 on this day, while with the Houston Astros, he earned his 250th career win against Chicago Cubs. So on this day, back in 1986, salute to the great Nolan Ryan. I actually have a few birthdays here as well. 1908, the birth of Francis William Lehigh, a.k.a. Frank Lehigh, in O'Neill, Nebraska. He was a football coach for Notre Dame. On this day in 1950, the birth of Cynthia Potter, an American springboard diver. Also the birth of Gerhard Berger, Formula One racer, and Elisabetta Bagrancevi in USSR. She was a discus thrower. She was born on this day back in 1929. So happy birthday to those individuals. That's all I have for Throwback Thursday. You got anything I missed, Isaac, or that pretty much sums it up?
I don't. That's the same list I was reading from. So, good list, though. Some important events. Not too many, but the Green Bay Packers inception. Man, that's football history right there.
Pretty cool stuff. You know, Isaac, I really hope that this isn't true because I'm a big fan of this guy. He has been a star ever since he's come into the league. He's battled back from not one, but two injuries, and really seems to be getting back in the groove of things in his respective sport. And folks, what I'm talking about is Derrick Rose, NBA basketball player for the Chicago Bulls, pretty well known name, a household name in sports. But it was reported, and I thought this was a hoax at first. I saw this on Twitter. I was tweeting about Justin Verlander's outing last night, and as soon as I go on Twitter,
I see like three articles from, you know, like, you know, celebrity websites like Bossip.com and so on and so forth about Derrick Rose being sued. And TMZ Sports reported it. It took ESPN a while for putting it, you know, for them to put it on their main page, because I think they were trying to, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's when it comes to this story to see how valid it was. But, yeah, it's apparently true. Right now, Derrick Rose is being sued by a woman who claims the NBA superstar and two of his girlfriends, or of his friends, excuse me, two of his friends drugged and raped her. Wow. These are serious allegations here, Isaac. The woman is being identified only as a Jane Doe. She says that she and Rose dated from 2011 to 2013. During that time, she alleged that Derrick Rose slipped something in her drink and allowed him, along with his friends, to engage with sexual acts in which she says that she refused. Rose's accuser says the two continued to date until August of 2013, when Rose and two friends, Ryan Allen and Randall Hampton, invited her to Rose's Beverly Hills house. She says there they slipped the drug into her drink with the aim of raping her. Isaac, I really hope that these allegations are not true, and I really hope that that Derrick Rose is not this stupid. I really hope so. Anytime that you have an athlete, or anyone for that matter, I don't care who it is, involved in allegations of this magnitude, you have to take them serious, because I've seen on social media that a lot of people are out there saying that, okay, this may be a woman out there just trying to get a paycheck, might be trying to get, you know, a piece of the pie, a piece of Derrick Rose's money. Heck, maybe. But we also have seen the other page of this, where allegations like this have been found to be true. Again, right now, this is all alleged. I'm just really hoping, for the sake of Derrick Rose, who has a bright future, who seems to be getting right back on track in his basketball career, I really hope this isn't true.
Al, I can't express how upset I was to read this story in the morning. Derrick Rose is one of my favorite players. He was, because he's a soft-spoken guy. He seems humble. Seems such a good person, too. Now, forget those NCAA relations. You can't blame him if you're broke and you get into college with a chance of going to school. Forget that. But Derrick Rose seems like such a good guy, an energetic, lively playing style, and then suffering through those two injuries and coming back. I just hope this isn't true. Like you said, the most important thing is right now it's alleged.
Yes. So we'll see how you know, this story develops over time. I'll be at high school, one high school football game tonight. I'll be doing play-by-play for 92.1, the team FM, along with Eric Doc Love. We'll be at the Ovid LC and Portland game. Excited about high school football getting started. We'll have coverage from that game on the show tomorrow for you. Isaac will also be at high school football starting tomorrow night for him. So special thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic Thursday. Again, Current Sports TV on your television tonight at 10 p.m. Don't miss it, folks. Take care and be easy, people.